She's live in the Ukraine joining us, GMI Studios, Morgan Ortegas. Morgan Ortegas has been a regular contributor. She's also a former State Department spokesperson under Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Morgan, thanks for being with us this morning, our time. How are you?
Absolutely. Thank you. Good to be with you, live from Lviv.
Well, how are things there?
Lviv is in western Ukraine, and so most of the fighting Putin was not able to take Kyiv, most of the fighting is in the east and the south. And so really what you're seeing in Lviv is sort of becoming a base for refugees and internally displaced people throughout the country. So other than the air raid sirens going off, it actually feels like a, touch wood, like a pretty normal European city.
Now, one of my, and you might agree or not, having worked in our federal government for the Secretary of State, State Department, everything's a crisis. We never do preventative, proactive thinking, and other countries plan long out more than us. We're very impatient in our, and I think it's a problem, but strategic planning doesn't seem to be there. Look at the baby formula crisis, inflation, gas, oil prices. Mm-hmm. What about a food shortage? And I'm talking about a real food shortage in about 10 or 12 weeks in the part of the world you're in right now because of the breadbasket in Ukraine, because of the blocked channels to get the food out, things like grain. What about much of the world and a real food shortage come August?
Well, and I think, as you pointed out, this should have been entirely predictable to the Biden administration, right? You should know, you should war game this out, and you should know that Russia is going to take every decision they can to try and make it as painful for the West as possible for supporting Ukraine. I mean, listen, this is a really stupid invasion by Putin. It's wrong. But our leaders have to be prepared. When you talk about the baby formula shortage, I mean, listen, I have a baby at home. She's 18 months now. She's off of formula, but she was formula fed. I can't imagine the panic going on with mothers around the country who are trying to deal with this situation, and fathers, of course, as well. But, we knew months ago that the main lab was being shut down and nobody did anything about it. So now we're forced in a situation where Putin is doing, exactly what anyone who is sort of a realist in foreign policy would expect him to do, mm-hmm. Which is to make things as painful for us as possible. And what I haven't heard from the administration, which I think every American deserves to hear, is what is their plan for dealing with this food shortage crisis?
I think they should be out in front of it now with plans, whether it's high gas and oil prices, high food prices. Morgan Ortegas, I want to go back to you were in the State Department, former secretary, spokesperson, Secretary of State. The president, this happened when the president went near where you are and delivered his speech in Poland near the end of his trip, or at the very end, and I'm not saying he was wrong, he said, my God, I'm paraphrasing Putin, this man, he's got to go. And then the White House spent the whole weekend dialing it back. The president didn't really mean what he said, that we're not calling for regime change. The president goes to Japan, important meeting, new trade pacts, reassuring our ties with an ally of Japan, a good stem for South Korea, North Korea, Japan, a good ally, good partner. And talking about Taiwan and China, the president saying if China invades Taiwan, we would intervene militarily. It seems pretty clear what the president said. Again, not saying he's right or wrong, it may be the right thing to do, but the White House, again, spends, much of this morning. President didn't really mean what he said. We're not calling for a change in policy. The ambiguity will continue. What's mm-hmm. going on here?
Well, it's really interesting because this is at least the third, if not the fourth time, that Biden has gone beyond what U.S. policy is towards Taiwan. So we embrace this policy, as we have for decades, centered around strategic ambiguity. And the purpose of strategic ambiguity is to give our policymakers some leeway on how we deal with the China problem, and not to necessarily inflame the Chinese Communist Party, because for them, Taiwan is their red line, right? They want Taiwan back in the Chinese fold, probably more than they want their next breath, maybe even more than they wanted Hong Kong. So therefore, we've taken under Republican and Democrat administrations a position of selling weapons to Taiwan and saying that the Taiwan issue should be solved peacefully and not through coercive military actions, i.e., China bombarding, Taiwan and taking it over. So my problem is, listen, I'm happy to be defensive of Taiwan, saying that from a personal capacity, obviously. My problem is not that Biden said it, although I do think if he is going to change U.S. policy, that that's something the American people and certainly Congress should be informed of. But if you're going to say to the world, and when China is listening, if you're going to say it in Asia that the United States is going to militarily defend Taiwan, then you need to be able to back it up. What do I mean by that? Well, the Biden defense budgets have been woefully inept, in my opinion. They are below even meeting inflation. Our Navy needs more ships and needs to be rebuilt. The Chinese are outpacing us there. So, you know, I thought in this country we had learned to live by the mantra of talking softly and carrying a big stick.
Right.
And unfortunately, what I see Biden and his administration doing is talking with a lot of bravado without the defense budget, without the Navy budget to back it up. And without that increased Navy spending, we won't win a war against Taiwan.
Let me ask you
against China for Taiwan.
Let me ask you this, Morgan, before we let you go. What's your mission there in Ukraine, live, joining us? Good morning, New Hampshire. What are you there on?
Thank you so much. I'm here with a Nashville-based organization called Aerial Recovery Group. That's aerialrecoverygroup.com. This is a really, really special group. They are a bunch of former special operators. They were in the special forces in the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. They're retired now. They took those skills from the military and transferred them to humanitarian operations.
Wow.
So essentially, they are getting orphans, families, you know, women, people who are maybe victim to human trafficking, are certainly victims of this war, and getting them safely through humanitarian operations into Lviv, into Western Ukraine, sometimes into
awesome.
Poland, where they will be safe. And I have just been able to hug and kiss and love on these orphans, and it's really been a life-changing trip.
And Morgan, before we let you go, if you had to go to the end of the year, speculative State Department perspective, where are we at in this war with Russia and Ukraine? Where is the war at? Where's the what do you see?
I think Putin's going to go on. He got Mariupol. Again, it's very hard to predict Putin. He finally got Mariupol. I think that he wants the Donbass and those contested areas, and I think that's something he's going to aim for and hopes that he not only wants to wear down the Ukrainians, which I don't think he will do, mm-hmm. but he wants to wear down the West. And I can tell you what I'm very concerned about is that the Europeans, lose their teeth, right, lose the ability to actually stand up to Russia, because as President Trump called out in 2018, they are still incredibly dependent on Russian oil and gas. In fact, the Germans and the Italians are talking about opening up special accounts in rubles so that they can pay the Russians for their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so my concern is that you know, some of the Europeans are not serious actually about wanting to counter Russia, and instead they want to go back to business as usual. You know, I'm worried that
right.
the Germans committed to defense spending, that they will go back. So that'll be the real test of whether the Europeans are serious or not. And listen, some of them are. Some of them are great allies. But some of them leave a lot to be wanted.
Morgan Ortegas, and the group you're with again, the website, if people want to learn more.
You're so kind. Thanks for asking. Aerial, A-E-R-I-A-L, recoverygroup.com.
And before we let you go, as being a former State Department official, do you believe the reports about Putin being surrounded by doctors and in this ailing health? Do you think this is all misinformation, like Kremlin, KGB style?
Listen, I don't know. I don't have access to the intelligence. My gut says it's wishful thinking, but, one can hope.
All right. Thank you very much, Morgan. Safe trip and safe travels live from the Ukraine. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.